I'm curious to find out why hypnosis is so effective for a sport like running.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was on a cruise in, I don't want to make up the year here, I think it was 1985. And so there were about 96 people that came along with us. And there was this one woman and her sister. She was 86 and the sister was 92. And, I mean, they were up on costume night, and the older one, I believe I saw her with a martini. So it'll give you an idea how old and how active these two ladies were. So I got this, the younger of the two, the 86-year-old, said, I would like to have help with my bowling game. And I said, well, you know, I haven't bowled since I've been a kid. She goes, I know, but you do that stuff. And she said, I would like you to help me. I said, fine. I'll be delighted to help you. So her bowling scores, her highest, I believe, was around her age, 86, 89, something like that. I'm going back a few years. And so I did some work with her over the telephone. After we got off the cruise, I did some work with her over the phone. And she called me back about a week later. She says, I did all those things you asked me to do. I said, yeah. She said, and I want to tell you something. She said, I just bowled three games in a row, 123, 129, and 118.
Wow, what an improvement.
Yeah, so basically what happens with a lot of sports people, whether it's runners or bowlers or golfers, it really doesn't matter. The gamut that I've worked with, you know, archery experts and things like that, is that they lose concentration, especially on the specific sports like golf or baseball, or, you know, they get lost in their thoughts. Now, runners have the problem, by and large, of talking to themselves.
Very
while
true.
They're running. So they've got this running dialogue, if you'll excuse the expression, which tells them that, you know, I only have so much more to go, and I really should be somewhere else besides where I am right now, and I wonder when this runner's high is going to kick in so I can forget about all this garbage in my head. Does that sound familiar?
Very much.
Okay. So by and large, what I do is I get people to get out of their head so that the part of them that knows how to run, runs. Now, I don't distract them with iTunes or anything like that. It's just a case of conditioning themselves. And conditioning is, you know, like anything else, you're conditioning yourself to have your body in shape to be able to run marathons. Well, what I'm conditioning the mind to do is to quiet down so you don't have all that chit-chat in there. Because stop and think about it, Tom. You sound like a pretty bright guy. You got that message that your mind sent you the first time, and you completely understood it. Yet it kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. It's sort of like telling somebody the same joke 10 times in a row and expecting them to laugh every time. That's the way the mind works. It just is on a loop, and it will gnaw at you like that until something else captures your fancy, and then that will gnaw at you for a while until that other trigger comes back and triggers that again. So what I help people do is quiet down the thought process, which is really what, you know, concentration is all about.
What are some ways that you do that, or
well,
that
I
people
mean,
can do it themselves?
Very simply. Yeah, I mean, you don't need me. You know, I act as a coach to people. And what I ask anybody to do is, if they really want to commit themselves to this formally, and they can do it for about $10 and shipping and handling, I have a CD that I offer on my website called Calm and Collected. And right underneath the Calm and Collected, there is a link to a page that tells you how to use Calm and Collected to accomplish just just about any goal that you're after. This Calm and Collected CD that I tell people to use, basically it works on a written exercise. And the written exercise takes about 10 or 12 minutes about what it is that you really want to accomplish, let's say in association with your running. So let's say that you decide what you want to do, and what I have you do is write out everything that you want to accomplish in association with what you want to accomplish with running, whether it's to enjoy your practice more, whether it's to calm your mind, whatever your goals are in association with your running, I have you write them down ad nauseum. Okay, just keep writing until you can't think of another thing that you want to accomplish in association with your running. The next thing I ask you to do, and I ask you to do that for about 10 minutes or so. The second thing I ask you to do is look over all the things that you just wrote down that you want to accomplish. And I want you to, as you look over it, look for the fluff words. Now, what's a fluff word? A fluff word is something you can't quantify. Like, I want to be a better runner. Well, what does better mean? It needs to be quantified. And there's an old management axiom that says, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So somebody says to me, well, you know, I want a good job. Well, what's a good job? Well, that's easy, one that pays a lot of money. What's a lot of money? So you go over this writing, and you find all your fluff, and you amplify it so that you find out what that word means to you. All right? So you write it all out, then you go in and what I call bust the fluff. And this is all in this written exercise that you can find on my website. You can download it for free. And then what I ask you to do is look at everything that you've written down and you've busted up the fluff and what it means to you. Then you take all of that and you reduce it down to a statement of about 25 words or less of what you want to accomplish in association to your goal. Then once you reduce it down to, like, you know, a paragraph or so, I ask you to look over the statement. And this is where the thing that people have a hard time believing until they do it, that the magic happens. You will look over that statement of 25 words or less if you've done everything I've asked. And one of those words or a phrase is just going to jump off the page at you. Or you're going to get a certain sensation about it in your body, or it's going to ring out in your mind that that is the word or phrase. What I ask you to do is write that word or phrase down. It's sort of like a trigger, if you will, for the entire thing that you want to accomplish. Sort of like a traffic light is a trigger for you to either step on the gas if it's green or apply the brake if it's red. You know, it happens automatically without you having to think about it. Then I ask you to use that trigger word with the CD called Calm and Collected. And if you do that for about 3 weeks' time, what will happen is you'll start to notice that your mind will learn to do the things that you want to accomplish. But just like with your marathon running, it takes practice. You couldn't just go do 2 miles a day, or maybe you could, but most people couldn't run 2 miles a day, 6 days a week, and then just jump into a marathon. You would have to do the proper practice. The proper practice would be to listen to this CD 21 days in a row after you've done the written exercise. If you do it without doing the written exercise, you'll just get relaxed, but by and large, it probably won't get you what you're after. It's a really powerful exercise, and I've been doing it for close to 25 years now, and I have phenomenal results from people, sports and otherwise.
So is the on the CD, is it some kind of music or?
No, it's just a walk down the beach. That's all it is.
And you talk?
I don't talk about anything but walking along the beach.
So the whole idea is just to get people to relax then? And
well, here's the whole idea. The whole idea of hypnosis, and what did they call it before they called it hypnosis? We didn't have that word until the 1800s when somebody named it that. But if you go back thousands and thousands of years to, like, the ancient sleep temples, let's take the Egyptian sleep temples, what they had was people walking into these structures with some kind of a malady. And they would go in there into these sleep temples and have quiet contemplation for a day, a weekend, a couple of days, whatever it took. Then they would come out and they would have no symptoms. I mean, this is the history of hypnosis, where it comes from. You don't need a bunch of specific suggestions. Every suggestion that you would need would come out of that written exercise, because what you've done is you've communicated what it is that you want to accomplish. Then you busted up all the fluff so you know exactly what it is those words mean to you. Then you've taken that exact writing and you've reduced it down to a statement of 25 words or less, which even makes it more concise. And then you find out one little trigger word that triggers the entire writing. So that trigger word is the word that you take into with you when you listen to this CD. Because one of the things that most hypnotists don't know, and when I teach this to guys that do this and women that do this for a living, is they have a misconception of what self-hypnosis is. They think that you get yourself relaxed and then you give yourself some suggestions. Well, if you just stop and think about that for a second, how bogus that is. Because the whole objective of being in a hypnotic state is to get your mind to quiet down. Sort of like go away on a little vacation, if you will. Sort of like when you get lost in thought. If, while you're in that frame of mind, you start talking to yourself, then you come out of that frame of mind. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we have you do a little exercise where you take this word that you've reduced your writing to, and then what we have you do is, as you listen to the CD, you'll hear in there, please bring your word or phrase to mind. You'll bring the word or phrase to mind, and then I ask you that to keep it with keeping your eyes comfortably closed, to roll your eyes up till you feel a little bit of eye strain, and then relax your eyes. So what you're doing is you're associating that word and everything that it means with this little eye roll, okay? So that is your introduction into trance. So that's all you need as a suggestion. And then what I do is walk you along the beach, where somewhere along the way you're going to start getting lost. You're not going to be paying attention to me anymore, and you're going to be gone. But that word is what you have taken into that trance state with you. It's your intention, if you will. And it's a great exercise to do at bedtime, because when you sleep, you dream 3 to 4 times a night. Most people don't remember their dreams the next day. But if you watch somebody sleep, you'll know they're dreaming, even your dog. If you watch them sleep, you'll see their eyes roll up. Okay? That's what they call rapid eye movement. That's when you're dreaming. So 3 to 4 times a night, you can get this to work for you. So, for example, you're about to go to bed. You've done your routine. You brushed your teeth, said your prayers, whatever you do. You turned off the TV. You turned off the light. Now you close your eyes. What I ask you to do right before bedtime is bring that word or phrase to mind. So you're ready for bed. You know, you've had a day and you're all set for sleep. You close your eyes and you bring that word to mind. And then I ask you that, keeping that word in mind, either you make a picture of it in your mind or say it to yourself, it really doesn't matter. Keeping your eyes deliberately closed, you roll your eyes up to the top of your head till you feel a little bit of eye strain, then relax your eyes, and then just count yourself backwards from 5 to 0. And you would hear all of this on the CD, but this is something you can do by yourself without listening to the CD. And what happens after doing this a few nights in a row, your mind catches on that you've associated that word, which means everything you want to accomplish, with the eye roll. So you'll be off asleep, and you'll be dreaming about whatever, you know, when you were a kid, or, you know, something about work, or, you know, some hodgepodge of a dream. But your eyes will roll up, and part of your mind will go, yoo-hoo, there's the eye roll. You know what that means. Yep, everything that Tom wants to accomplish. So you get to reinforce 3 to 4 times a night what you want to work on, rather than taking the crap that most people normally take to bed with them, like, oh, God, how am I going to do this? Tomorrow's going to be a bear, or blah, blah, blah. Wow. So it's an exercise that I have people do at bedtime. But it's all based on this written exercise, and it's very, very powerful, and I encourage people to do it. And if you want, again, just go to my website, johnmorganseminars.com. Go down to the Calm and Collective CD, and right below it, there's a little line that tells you how to, link that tells you how to use it. Just print that out, and then, you know, use the CD. That would be one way. Now, if you're looking for little quicker fixes, little things that you can do in the meantime, this is something that people don't, this takes practice, and it works. The practice is, let's go back to the business of out there running, and I should be somewhere, anywhere but here right now. You know, or I've got so much left, and why am I doing this, and all that chit-chat. What I teach people to do is start, it's really freedom. It's how to become free. And what it is to notice your mind in action. Just take a moment to notice that that thing is running on automatic pilot. You think that's you thinking, but it's not. That's just your mind on automatic pilot, just blathering and on and on and on and on. If you take the time to sort of step away and notice your mind blathering, in other words, you become the observer of your mind. It's almost like you just step right out and you look at your mind and you watch it work. The part of you that does the noticing is the real you. It's not that automatic recording machine that we call our mind. So anytime you catch yourself in a thought loop like, oh, God, blah, blah, you know, where you're beating yourself up, but everybody does that. The minute you catch yourself beating yourself up, you don't go, oh, damn, I'm beating myself up again. That's not what I'm calling noticing. I want you to notice without emotion. Notice without passion. Oh, I'm having the thought about I should be doing something else other than what I'm doing right now. Anytime you interrupt yourself and notice your mind at work, you will create a little space in your mind. And when you create a little space in your mind, you make room for something new to come in, something more productive rather than the thought loop. So what you want to do is start observing your mind in action. You know, all it takes is, you know, you have repetitive thoughts come back, right?
Okay.
Okay. So just practice with something that happens every day. In other words, you're out there running or you're not. You're just sitting around the house or you're at work or whatever you're doing, and all of a sudden, here comes this repetitive thought. You should be. It's usually a should, ought, must, one of those kind of things. You know, you really should be doing blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm having the thought about I should be doing blah, blah, blah. Not, damn it, I'm having that thought again. Just notice it. The more often you notice your mind at work, the more space you create between your thoughts. The more space you create between your thoughts, over time your mind will quiet down. And you'll have that thought come visit you less and less.
So once that space, creating that space, does it automatically, just by recognizing and you're creating that space, does it automatically fill in with something that's going to be a little more positive? Or is it just creating
most
a
times,
space?
Most times it will be there as a space, and then space in general, yes, it makes, let me give you a little statistical stuff, okay?
Uh-huh.
Between the left hemisphere of your brain and the right hemisphere of your brain, every second across the corpus callosum, which holds the two parts of your brain together, it's the little mass in the middle, but it's the connective tissue that holds the left and the right hemisphere of your brain together. Every second, 200 million bits of awareness go from your left hemisphere to your right hemisphere and back and forth, back and forth. We happen to be aware of 7 of those bits at any one moment in time. That's all you're aware of. Even the most renowned people, it's what they call 7 plus or minus 2 bits of awareness. So the most anybody can hold at one time in their mind is 9, and the fewest is 5, you know, for normally functioning minds. But there are 200 million bits of awareness going back and forth every second, and you're only aware of 7 of them. So if you're taking your 7 bits of awareness and you're running stuff over and over again, it's taking up your consciousness. Nothing else can get in. It's sort of like a CB radio. Have you ever had a CB radio?
No.
Okay. Well, do you know the principle of a walkie-talkie?
Yes.
Okay, walkie-talkie, Tom, when you're pressing the talk switch, you can't receive. Okay? So if you're in there blathering to yourself, let's say you're on a walkie-talkie and you're blathering, there may be somebody out there on the other end that has the secret to the universe for you, but you're not going to get it because you're too busy in there talking to yourself.
Yeah, you have no clue.
So when you let up on the talk switch, that's when you receive. So when you free up, using the space thing, when you free up a few bits of awareness, then that makes room for one of those other 200 million bits of awareness to pop in. That's when you get ahas and new ideas. Just notice for a minute when you're out there running and you're in your zone. Then all of a sudden you get one of the, oh my God, wait till I get home. I can't wait to do it. And you write it down. You've gotten those aha moments, haven't you?
Oh, that's one of the primary reasons why I run. I get my best ideas. Yeah.
Exactly. And some people get them in the shower, and some people in their blue easy chair, and even couch potatoes get good ideas, you know? So that's exactly what I'm talking about, creating space. A, the space feels good, and it's peaceful, as you know, from a runner's high. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to go out and run a half a marathon to make it happen. And number two, it allows some new stuff to come in that you've been holding off at bay. If you can start observing your mind at work and then just interrupt it, here's how change happens, okay? Everything is patterned. You know, you weren't born patterned. Where were you born, Tom?
What city or?
Yeah.
Dearborn, Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
Yeah.
So from Michigan, you know, it's a goofy little thing that Michiganders do, but if you're going to give somebody directions, you put up your hand and point on the back of your hand how to get from one place to another, right?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, so that's a little thing that they do in Michigan that's a pattern, a routine. You weren't born with it. You learned it, and a lot of stuff you learned without even knowing how, like your pattern of speech. Michiganders, people from Michigan, have a flat A, okay?
Yes.
You know, it's that Midwest flat A, and you didn't go to school to learn that. You had it before you went to school, and you still have it.
It just happened, yeah.
Right. Now, let's say that you didn't like the flat A for whatever the reason was, and you wanted to go change it, okay? So that's called changing a pattern. So how does change happen? Change happens when you interrupt the pattern while it's happening. For example, let's pretend your neighbor said, hey, Tom, can you watch my kid? Just watch him and feed him a can of SpaghettiOs. But for whatever reason, the guy says to you, look, don't let him have any cookies before dinner. You say, okay, no problem. So you being very diligent, you go over and count the cookies in the cookie jar, and there are 7 of them in there. So the kid comes home from school. He said, I'm going to feed you dinner a little bit later. Why don't you go do something? He goes down to his room and plays video games or whatever. You go sit at the guy's dining room table and do your checkbook because you got nothing better to do right now while you're babysitting this rug rat. Now, you fix up the SpaghettiOs for him about an hour or so later. You put it in a can. You put it out in front of the kid. Hey, come on in. He sits down. He takes 2 bites and he says, I'm not really that hungry. Yeah, well, I can't force them to eat. All right, well, you know, go do what you do. So the kid runs off back to the room to play the video games. But you happen to notice over at the cookie jar that there are now three cookies there. Four cookies have been eaten. You didn't eat them, and you and him are the only two in the house. So that means that little sneaky son of a gun snuck in while you were doing your checkbook and took four cookies. How effective would it be for you to run down to that room right now and beat him up about that? Not at all, right?
Not too much, yeah.
No, because he's already eaten the cookies. But what if, out of the corner of your eye, while you were doing your checkbook, you looked over and you saw that little hand going in the cookie jar and you went, hey, it's always best to interrupt the pattern while it's happening. The more often you start to notice your routines running and you interrupt them, you're at the threshold of change right there. The more often you do it, that's when change starts to happen. Be okay if I tell you another quick story?
Sure, of course.
My son, Andrew, this was about a year and a half ago, maybe a year ago, we were sitting having dinner, and we have dinner most nights. And I noticed that he used the word whatnot about every fifth sentence as he was talking. And it was something new. It wasn't something that he had done before. Now, he's an adult, so it's not like he's... And I just said to him, I said, hey, Andrew, I said, have you noticed that you're saying whatnot about every fifth sentence? He said, no. I said, yeah, you're doing it. You know, blah, 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 whatnot. Blah, 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 whatnot. So the next time, I said, all I want you to do is become aware of it. That's all. I said, I'm not telling you it's bad or not good or anything like that. Just become aware of it. So it was funny to watch it happen, to watch him become aware of it. Yeah, well, today at work, you know, the boss said this and blah, blah, and what. And all of a sudden he would interrupt himself. He would hear it coming and interrupt himself. It took about, I don't know, a week, maybe less. And all of a sudden he's not saying whatnot anymore. Now, he didn't go take a class on whatnot, not to do, if you will. He just interrupted a pattern of behavior while it was happening. When you interrupt the behavior while it's happening and notice the behavior while it's happening, you're at the threshold of change.
Yeah, I'm thinking as you're talking about this, like for a runner, I think when the mind really starts kicking in, especially if you're running a marathon or something,
mm-hmm.
mile 20, I mean, the negative thoughts are really, really, they're kicking pretty hard in your brain.
Yeah.
There's always that thought of, there's six more miles, but I can just quit right here, and I'm really in pain, and I don't know if I can continue to go on. At that point, when you're having those thoughts, you are recognizing the pattern. And I don't know, maybe it's incorrect thinking, but the more times that you can get to that level, I guess.
No, I think what you're describing, though, is getting caught up in that thinking.
Ah.
What I'm saying is that thinking's going to come along by itself.
Uh-huh.
If it's pattern thinking, it's going to come up. Your job at that point is not to say, oh, God, I'm having those dreadful wall thoughts. No, it's just to notice, oh, I'm having the thought about quitting. I'm having the thought about being too tired. I'm having the thought about just notice it. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't give it any credence. Just notice it. Just by noticing a thought, you'll create a space for a new thought. It's called interrupting the pattern while it's going on. See, we're creatures of patterns. That's all we are. Just stop and think about all the stuff that you've learned that you don't even know that you learned. Your patterns run you. Your belief systems run you. Now, some of them are very, very productive and helpful. They get you through life. Like, I got a belief that if there's a bus coming at me, I should jump out of the way. I'm hanging on to that one. But what if you have a pattern that's doing you some harm? Well, the first thing to do is to notice that you have the pattern. And then notice it while it's going on. Because when you notice while it's happening, that's when you create a space. Does that make any sense to you?
That makes a lot of sense. It's really, for me personally, it's really hard. I can notice some of those negative thoughts, but to not attach some kind of emotion to it, to just notice it, that's
the idea.
Challenging.
So see, it's the emotion is the, you know, if you will, the egoic part of your mind. It wants you to be emotional about that. That's what patterns are. All this other part of you has no emotion. It's just noticing. It's the observer. So you just want to find out that you do own an observer, and you want to bring them out to play a little more often.
So going back to that, the first story you told me about the lady bowling.
Yeah.
You basically told her to start recognizing the thoughts.
No, what I did with her was something a little bit different. I used what we call anchors. You might call them triggers. What I asked her to do was to think about a time. Well, let's do it with you. Can you think about a time, Tom, when you were out there running where, I mean, it was just effortless?
Yes, that happens occasionally.
Okay, so you can remember that time, right?
Yes.
All right, just as we're here talking on the phone, I want you to go back to that time in your mind and like you're actually there. I know we're pretending, but I want you to go back in your mind like you're actually there, and I want you to kind of see what you saw, hear what you heard, feel what you felt. Can you get a hold of that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do me a favor. As you're back there in your mind, I want you to see exactly what you saw. Can you make a picture of that in your mind?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just take your thumb and first finger and just go up and grab one of your earlobes. Just squeeze it. And then let go. Tell me when you've done that.
Okay.
So I want you to go back to that time when it was just totally effortless for you. I mean, you were in the zone. It should always be like this. I want you to hear exactly what you may have been saying to yourself back then. And when you can hear those comments to yourself, do the same thing. Take your thumb and first finger and just squeeze that same earlobe.
Okay.
All right. Now, I want you to go back to that same time when running was just absolutely effortless for you, and it just felt so wonderful. I mean, it just couldn't be any better than this. And I want you to actually feel what it felt like in your body to run effortlessly. And when you can just grasp a hold of that feeling, what I want you to do is just take that thumb and first finger and squeeze that same earlobe again. Just give it a little squeeze.
Okay.
Okay. So now what I asked the lady to do and what I would ask you to do is 5 times a day. Would that take 30 seconds to do?
Yeah, pretty short amount of time.
Okay, so 5 times a day, give yourself a mental health break. Think about some time in your life. It doesn't have to be specific to running or being in the zone or anything like that. But think about a time in your life when things were just going wonderful for you. They were looking good, sounding good, felt great. And just sort of like daydream. Go back to that time in your mind. Oh, yeah, remember the time I was dating so-and-so or whatever is important to you. When you get back to that time in your mind, just reach up, take your thumb and first finger, and squeeze your earlobe. Do that 3-5 times a day. What you're doing is you're building an association with all those feelings and squeezing your earlobe. So when you find yourself beating yourself up and you start to notice it, if you want to revisit those great feelings, just reach up and touch your thumb and first finger to that earlobe. The more often you do it, the better you get at it, and you start to be able to trigger some very productive, valuable feelings that can get you over a specific hump.
Well, that's definitely powerful.
Yeah, it's called anchoring. It comes from a technology or a body of knowledge called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP for short. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
I was just thinking about the triggers, and I'm wondering if you had mentioned you can touch your earlobe or pinch your earlobe when you recognize that you're in a negative place.
Yes, and what you're doing is you're revivifying the productive state.
If you're in, like, already a productive state where you recognize that, hey,
yeah, then squeeze
right
it.
Now.
And all you do is reinforce it.
Okay, yeah, that was okay.
Was this helpful?
Very helpful. Okay, well, I'll post this interview so people can just listen to it and they can try out some of those techniques.
Very good, Tom.
Thank you.
And contact me anytime.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
So long now.
Okay.
Bye.